You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Rajiv Partee, and he is the author of Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back. And we're here now. You have this whole new life. So you're talking about it to different people. And how did your wife, you know, when someone goes through some huge experience like this, life-changing, which it was for you, and you're going to change your life, it's just huge. It makes a huge impact on those around you. And so here you are. You don't even know how it's going to turn out. You don't even know how you're going to go forward with it. But you know you have this commission to do it, and you must change your life from this, what you call the disease of materialism, mm-hmm. which you had been living. How did your wife respond to this?
You know, my wife was skeptical in the beginning, but when things started happening and she saw, like, my attitude has changed towards my kids and my goals in life had changed, like, instead of, and my relationship with God had changed, and instead of just talking about money all the time and how can we get ahead and materialistic, it was a different person who went to sleep and the different person who woke up.
So when she took you to the hospital that last time, she took one man to the hospital, but yeah. Coming home, it was a completely different man. And also at that time, I think you said by that time with your wrist and with other things, you were pretty addicted to prescription drugs.
Yeah, my craving went away and my things started happening, like my house, it was not on the market for sale. One plastic surgeon friend of mine, Aquintas, came to see me and he said, "Oh, Raj, I like your house." And then me and my wife talked. And without going through any real estate agent, just through an escrow company, me and their plastic surgeon had a house. He had a house, moderate-sized house from his residency days. And we just exchanged our houses.
And that just cut down your mortgage, like,
It was $15,000 a month before. So I used to think, you know, I own the house or the house owns me.
Right.
But it was a beautiful house on a golf course, lake. Like, my mother came from India. Oh, you live in a palace.
Oh, I'm right on the golf course and the lake and all of that. But it was okay, wasn't it, to change the house and move, and almost like the angels brought you this opportunity to cut down on your expenses and cut down on your lifestyle.
Like my cars, you know, I had sports BMW and Hummer. From that, I drive a Toyota Camry hybrid.
Right.
And because environment changed, for me, environment became important. You know, yes. When I was driving Hummer, I didn't care what it only gave 8 miles a gallon. I could afford it, so it was fine.
Right. So here you are now in this. There is something that you did that I thought was very significant. And when you got home and you now set up, and I think you're in your new house by this time, and you decided one morning, your wife has gone off to work, and you decided that you were going to have a funeral.
Yeah. That's what I had witnessed when I had gone to the Himalayas, when the monks take up a new life. They're given a new name and they do a self-funeral. Like, the old person is gone and now they're taking a new role as a new reborn person. Like, you know, Christians have a reborn Christians.
Like baptism. Or
that now they're different and now they're in service of God.
Yes. And so you took your, you actually did a funeral pyre, very Hindu is like funeral pyre, that you took your scrub clothes and you put them.
Some pain medication. And if you read the book, I was big in stock market, a day trader, so much so in 99 and 2000, I was not working as a doctor, but a day trader.
So you were working the stock market like mad. And so you put your market books and in there, and you put your ads for special cars, and you put all of that together, and you put that on the barbecue, and fired it up and burned all of that to ash.
Yeah.
And then you wrote three letters.
Yep.
And you tell us about the letters in the book, and we can read those in the book, Dying to Wake Up. And then what was the purpose of writing the letters and then burning each one?
You know, writing the letters is one of the ways of, because I'm big on forgiveness. You know, we're talking with my father, like I resented him. So I wrote a letter of forgiveness to my father. And then I was mad at myself, which was the hardest forgiveness. That why did I this do? Why did I do that? Why did I behave like this? And then I was actually mad at God. That's quote unquote, I forgave God to. Because why did I get cancer? Why did my life have to change? You know, to with God, I started to accept his will more, you know. And because with the prayer that I do not know what is good for me, so give me strength to accept your will. Like I had a vision board, you know, after watching the movie Secret, you know, of a big house in Malibu and a Ferrari or something like that. It was made of cardboard. So one time I was visiting near the ocean, Santa Barbara, I just prayed and floated it as a ocean as giving up my will to God.
And in this letter writing and these ideas of forgiveness and love, these are starting to come to you as your own now new work of consciousness-based healing is what you call it. So these things are starting to, you didn't know how you're going to do it, but now they're starting to come to you as you're releasing these objects and the old life.
Exactly.
So when you're starting to speak to others, I was interested too in something that you spoke about. One of your chapters is called The Guidance Map. And, you know, we'd love for someone to just take our hand and just take us on our path. Once we say, okay, I give it up to God and I'm going to do the will of Spirit or follow my own inner calling or whatever you want to call it. And we want someone to hold our hand to do it. But you found that the angels were telling you, hey, that's not the way it works. So what can you say about that?
Yeah, you know, like you surrender, accept, and at the same time you go with your inner, I call it inner GPS or the guru inside you, because the spark of God is inside you. And I talk about three things, prayer, service, and meditation. Because prayer is when you talk to God, meditation is when God talks to you. After all, the language of God is silence. And service, I'm not just, I call it seva, a Sanskrit word, but is not just doing few hours on a weekend in a soup kitchen. That is good. But I am going deeper, have that mindset that I'm here to serve, I'm here to take care. Like we always hear talk about random acts of violence. There could be random acts of kindness.
Yes. In fact, there are probably many more of those than the violence. We just like read more about the violence.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with pain? Because like you work with stress and pain. That's your clinic now and the work that you do. So you're not using as much prescription drugs.
See, pain is part of life, I'm realizing, but suffering is optional.
Yes.
And how you deal with pain is by, you know, stress. If the sympathetic system is in a high stress or higher awareness, then the pain is exaggerated too. So by the meditation, you can calm down your nervous system. And this is the modern psychology is proving that with calming down the system, you produce opioids like substance in your own body, you know, or with exercise, physical exercise, which are known as endorphins or enkephalins, and they are opioids naturally produced by the body.
So you're talking about a whole physiological system we have, and meditation can help calm that down when we get into stress and it triggers all of these hormones and opiate, not opiates, but stress.
Cortisol and epinephrine.
Cortisol and others into our system. That, are you finding that the people who come to you who have been suffering chronic pain, who have been in pain for a long time, that there are ways that they can reduce and release that pain,
like massage,
without medications?
Like massage, like yoga and physical exercise, you know, getting rid of the tension, because otherwise all those things cause more pain. Part of the people have what are called trigger points, you know, like on their muscles, they have knots where the muscle is constricted. And by meditation and by massage, those knots are released and the vicious circle, because when there is a knot, it causes pain. And that pain causes more constriction and more pain. So it continues.
It's a vicious cycle, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. So, and, you know, like even culturally, different cultures have different pain tolerance. You know, like Asian women, you know, Vietnamese or Southeast Asian, they can, I've seen, tolerate much more pain. You know,
you're talking about physical pain.
Physical pain.
Yeah.
And the pain can be, the physical pain starts as a physical pain, but gradually the pain becomes centralized and centralizes that the physical part may have healed, but it is not deep inside.
But here in America, there is I think the addiction to prescription drug is the number one addiction in our country. So people want that quick fix and think, okay, let's just take a drug and let it.
It is, you know, like our culture from, I hate to say it, but pharmacological companies, you know, I used to have patients ask me for drugs, prescriptions, antidepressants, pain medications by name, because they would see the advertisements on TV.
And so you would prescribe them, but now you're working with it in a very different way.
Now I preach, you know, like things like Ayurveda, you know, which is basically lifestyle management. You know, 70% of the modern day diseases are caused from lifestyle.
Right.
Heart disease, hypertension, stress. 30% of the Western population is depressed as on antidepressants. It's a big billion-dollar industry.
I'm here with Dr. Rajiv Partee, and he's the author of Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife, and the Wisdom He Brought Back. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Rajiv Partee, and he's the author of Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back. And Dr. Rajiv, what you received was a kind of manifesto of from the angels that you worked with, a near-death manifesto, and there were 7 points with that. Can you talk about some of those points?
Yeah. You know, like I call us eternal truths. The first thing was when I separated from my body, that consciousness can exist outside the body. Then I met my father, who had died only 30 years ago, that there is life after death. I experienced my past lives, that we have past and future lives, which do affect our nature in this life. You know, the samskara, the characteristics continue. Then I met angels who helped me a lot, that there are divine beings who are angels, guides, ascended masters like Jesus, Krishna, who are there to help us. But we have to request kind of help. And then in the presence of the light being, what I really felt was total peace and love. It was like the true nature of reality is love, unconditional love. And for me, the first time I experienced unconditional love was when my child, the first boy, was born. Holding him in my hand. I have delivered babies myself before, but when it was my own, you know, it's a miracle. You know, I'm going to be there for him. It was amazing. And one of my most important thing is that we, like when I was in the presence of the light being, that we are all connected to each other, that we are waves of the same substance, the same spiritual energy which forms a light being, forms me, we forms you. And also that I was learned that there are different levels of consciousness. Like we all know the levels of sleeping, awake, and dreaming. But there are more levels. One is like with meditation, you go into a transcendental phase. And with deeper prayer and meditation, you can go into what is called cosmic, then divine, and then finally unitary consciousness, where all what exists is just consciousness. So these are the basic 7 truths.
So through some of these meditation techniques, and you have some of them in the book. Where you can start to tune into that unified, universal energy of
light. You can get glimpses of that, and then you bring it back to your daily life.
Yes. So
that's where there's a saying, it does not make a difference what happens on the cushion. What is more important is what happens off the cushion.
Right. So it's not taking a break from life, but it's really enhancing your life.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's why meditation is a big part of my personal life, too.
So you train other people to meditate, and you meditate every day?
I meditate at least 20 minutes twice a day.
Yes.
And I learned meditation from different, I know different kinds of meditations depending upon what the patient needs.
I was interested in, you had a very fine friend who has now passed on, Naresh,
exactly.
A very dear friend, and you were with him as he was going through his cancer. And at one time, you taught him to meditate. He was fearful. He knew
he was very fearful.
He was facing death, but
his colon cancer had metastasized to his liver, and he was going downhill. And I taught him what I call a light shout or a light being meditation, where you try to, and that meditation, I try to give the client or the or whoever it is, the experience of kind of a near-death experience without having a near-death experience. You know, like the client goes through the different journey and is in the presence of the light. And
so there's a way to get there without having to do the near-death. And that's
exactly. In my speeches, I usually end with that. You don't have to have a near-death experience to transform. The transformation is available to you right now.
Now, I know that some people who have come back from a near-death experience, they've had a spontaneous healing that doesn't always happen, but can you say something about that?
You know, like people have different healings, like especially like Anita Morjani, she had for lymphoma, or I don't know which kind of lymphoma it was totally gone. In my case, my sepsis was gone. I healed much faster. I was discharged in 2 to 3 days, and my craving for the pain medications went away, and my health improved, and it gave me new purpose in life, you know, psychologically. And so that's why the person is a different person.
Now, in Najeef's or Naresh, what was his name?
Naresh.
Naresh, in his case, he didn't have a healing, but he expressed to you that he felt more calm.
He was at peace with the what was coming, and he knew the death was coming. And actually, his last day, I saw him, he was in coma. And, you know, it's because every system was shutting down. And I saw him the evening, came home, and actually I'm so grateful to him that he gave me another spiritual experience, which I call shared death experience.
And this is something that Dr. Raymond Moody has really studied, shared death experience, SDE. And so you shared his death in some way?
In some way, like Dr. Moody shared with her, I think he had one doctor tell him the story, and also with his own mother died, you know, and the shared experience. And like in my case, when somebody near to you dies, your own soul or spirit goes with the other soul to a certain extent, and then there's usually a barrier, and the other friend or relative spirit goes ahead and you come back.
So in other words, you get the opportunity of accompanying this friend on their journey to the light. At some point, you have to go back to your own life. But that's a very, must have been a powerful experience.
And the most powerful was that I met a Middle Eastern, you know, about 7 foot, I think, person who I didn't know but had a beard, and who telepathically, you know, said was Jesus.
So you felt like Jesus was there for your friend, and you met Jesus too, right there as a greeter to this friend.
Yeah, and you know, and my biggest question when I came back to my body was that do I become a Christian now or what? And then deeper meaning was that it's my job to spread Christ consciousness, which is what I'm doing. You know, love, forgiveness is what, to me at least, is the biggest lesson from Jesus.
So it's a universal, that's spread from all the, it doesn't take any one particular religion. If you say Christ consciousness, you're not just talking about Christianity.
Exactly.
You're talking about all the spiritual paths.
All the spiritual paths, and the biggest of all spiritual paths is love for each other and forgiveness.
So is there anything else that you'd like to share that you learned from, let's say, the lessons of the light, if there's anything?
You know, like I would share about, I was in Montreal giving a speech 4 weeks ago or so, and somebody asked me on a panel, how should I prepare for my death? And my answer spontaneously came to me was, you prepare for your death by living this life fully in service of others.
Beautiful. Do the angels continue to communicate with you?
Yeah. And my father especially. I have a beautiful relationship with my father now.
And so is that like in meditation, when
meditation,
you're in meditation?
In dreams, or, you know, like they show me, I challenge them, you know, Gabriel, if you're here, like I was in Denver 2 weeks ago and I was talking to one person about my angels and how I am nowadays with Angel Gabriel, as I mentioned here. And after 10 minutes, the person says, you know, my name is Gabriel.
Oh, so there is a confirmation, isn't it? That this is real. You have a, I would say, a very dynamic relationship with these entities, or these
synchronicities
really helps us to have the faith that there is something beyond what we can touch and feel, but something else going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to thank you so much, Dr. Partee, for all of your good work and for your service, your seva work of serving others, now leaving that other life behind. And you look very happy. You look very healthy, and you know, giving up your Hummers and your big house.
As I said, you know, my life went from Hummer to hybrid.
From Hummer to hybrid,
literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So I want to remind our listeners, I've been speaking with Dr. Rajiv Partee. He spells his name R-A-J-I-V, Partee, P-A-R-T-I. And his book is Dying to Wake Up, A Doctor's Voyage into the Afterlife and the Wisdom He Brought Back. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, dyingtowakeup.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3596.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Bishop Mark Andrus, author of Brothers in the Beloved Community. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about the friendship of Thich Nhat Hanh and Martin Luther King Jr.
Hi, I'm Brent Morrison, the host of The Rock and Blues Show, broadcasting 2 hours of the best in rock and blues music every Thursday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. at CJSF 90.1 FM. From Albert King to ZZ Top, we delve into almost 90 years of recorded blues music, featuring big guitars, powerful vocals, and driving rhythms. From the Mississippi Delta to the Great White North, across two oceans and two hemispheres, We play the music that gave birth to almost all modern music. As Muddy Waters said, the blues had a baby, and they named it rock and roll. I hope you'll tune in to CJSF 90.1 FM Thursday mornings from 7 to 9 for a music experience unlike any other.
You're listening to